Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller is on the air. Tune in for insight and encouragement for living a more sustainable, back-to-basics lifestyle. No matter where you've come from or what the future may hold, we hope each episode will encourage you with topics, guests, and stories that inspire your journey towards self-sufficiency. And now, the hostess of Your Preparation Station, Donna Miller.
Welcome to another new episode of Your Preparation Station. I'm excited again today to have my guest, Scott Peterson, with me. If you didn't get to know too much about him from the last episode, you can tune back in and learn a little bit more. This time we're going to talk about some pests. We're going to talk about some things that attack your garden and kind of what you can do about it. And what can you do about it when your neighbors are messing with, I don't know, the air quality. They've spread Roundup all over everything, and you may not want to be using that stuff. So, who is Scott Peterson, and what is Down to Earth Seeds? Well, Scott basically has grown up as a fresh garden vegetable farmer. His mother grew and preserved vegetables. He was raised, you know, like a lot of people may have been, learning how to garden. So, he was a diesel technician, building contractor, and realized that he was too dependent upon the normal food system. So he began working with dehydrated food suppliers to help people prepare. He realized then that in order to be completely prepared, you needed to be able to grow your own vegetables. Well, he designed an heirloom seed kit that lasts 50 years with good germination. A lot of seed kits, they'll lose germination year after year, but not the ones that Scott has helped develop at Down to Earth Seeds. So if you do contact him, please tell him that you've heard him on Your Preparation Station, and he'll work with you about what you might need for growing for years to come. After a couple of years in helping people prepare for Y2K, he realized how difficult it was for most people to think realistically concerning the possible economic crash. He began to see a much larger picture. He realized that our whole society just can't function if one part of it is not dependable. So if we lose power or electricity, is no longer constant, everything else ceases to kind of function. So then we also have no communication and no fuel and no heat and so forth and so on. 14 years later, he's still sharing his vision and encouraging people to be prepared, which is one reason he's an excellent guest on our show, of course. While it may not be 100% possible to be completely prepared, since now, you know, we just don't know, new things are on the horizon all the time, the more prepared we are, he believes, I agree, that the more we're able to help ourselves and to help others. So this is an ongoing process for Scott, and he doesn't claim to have arrived or have every single answer. But in the area of growing and seed saving, I think you'll agree that he has a lot of really good insight and input. Well, we're really excited that you're back with us again this week, Scott, talking about kind of building upon the last show that if folks are listening to this one, you're catching us in the middle. The last show Scott was on with us was talking about prepping the garden. So that's laying your groundwork and everything. And he touched on some stuff that I really hadn't even thought about. I just kind of got out there and plant. And so this week, we're going to be talking about dealing with pests. And I know part of this kind of came up when we were talking about doing a show because I had driven home and seen my neighbor, I think, has killed an entire field with Roundup. And I'm not a pesticide fan, so we kind of got to talking about this before recording anything, when Scott was, you know, talking with me about coming on to do a series here. So that became kind of a hot topic for me because I think a lot of us deal with pests and we don't quite know how to do it. So I thought, hey, Scott, help. This is a perfect time in the middle of this series to talk about it, and you have some notes and some ideas on all the different types of pests that we might encounter for our garden. So what can you suggest to us?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that we think of pests as just bugs. Mm-hmm. But I kind of look at it, and I listed in my notes 2, 4, 6, eight-legged pest, because there is everywhere from the grandkids going out and bringing you in your newly transplanted tomato plant and say, Grandma, look what I got.
Yeah.
To the dog, to the natural rabbits or deer that your garden collects, to the invasive pests such as, you know, blister beetles, grasshoppers, aphids, you know, all the normal real pests. And what we've noticed in growing large gardens and doing it organically is that we don't like spray. I don't even like using sprays of organic nature. I'd like to go beyond that and say, I'm eating this stuff. And if I'm selling it, I'm putting my name on it, and other people are eating it. So I want this person to trust what I've done with their food supply. Like, I would want to know if I went and bought it myself. So we have a lot of different ways of getting rid of pests. One is grow healthy plants. Pests are somewhat of nature's cleanup system. So if you're riddled with pests, maybe your soil amenities are not good enough to support your plants, to make them healthy and vibrant. It's kind of like, what was a kid in school that always got sick? He was usually, you know, pasty white, kind of skinny, just didn't get out much. Mm-hmm. You know, he might be making millions of dollars now selling computers, but he always got the bug. But he wasn't active. He wasn't nutritionally endowed. And that's why a lot of times the hybrids and GMOs have come in, is because they're trying to get rid of pests, so they give them qualities that the plants don't like or the bugs don't like. There's many natural things, usually very simple. We had at one time where we had a grasshopper infestation into our tomatoes, and they were actually coming through and demolishing my tomatoes on the stem. Mm. And didn't know what to do. I mean, there was more grasshoppers than I could shake a stick at. Didn't have a real good reason on how to get rid of them. And I knew they'd be gone in 3 days, but so was my garden.
Right.
And we took and talked to a lady at a health food store one time, and she says, oh, well, you just need to sweeten them tomatoes up. And I go, how? She says, just get yourself some blackstrap molasses, put her in a garden sprayer, and go out there and spray that, and them old grasshoppers, they'll go find someplace else to eat.
Huh.
So I did. And what I noticed is grasshoppers like acid fruit. That's why they go after tomatoes. And as I was spraying it, you know, I'm out there, I looked like a popsicle. My dog was walking around behind me licking my legs because I think he thought I was a popsicle. But as I was spraying this mixture of black over my tomato plants, and you know, I diluted it down a little bit, I came across my pink tomatoes, which are Arkansas Travelers. And they are very low acid. They're a pink tomato. Yellow tomatoes are also low acid. But I noticed that the grasshoppers weren't anywhere around them.
So she was right.
So she was right, you know, and even though I have all this education and stuff on this type of philosophies, I didn't realize that,
yeah.
Or I didn't take it to note at that time. And it did cause the grasshoppers to leave, not all of them, but a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so it was something that was able to happen.
Uh-huh.
Blister beetles, stuff like that. A lot of these things you can take. There's methods of it actually taking the bug, a bunch of them, grinding them up,
yeah.
And putting them back on the garden, you know, and making kind of a death wish for them. I don't know if that works or not, but it does seem to deter them. So
I've heard
fences,
that before. Yeah.
Fences, the guard dog usually keeps out the larger pest, but then you might have him as a pest. you know, there's just so many things that you can get into, but try something naturally. Try something kind of out of the box before you grab that can or that bottle that says, you know, wear gloves while you're mixing this stuff up.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is going to go into your food.
And yeah, that's terrible. And it doesn't come out of your soil for like what, 5 years, 7 years sometimes?
Well, they say Roundup has a 25-year half-life.
Oh, man.
And that's a half-life. So, you know, we're in for some serious ecological damage due to this GMO Roundup stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we haven't even seen the beginning of that, so... but yeah,
well, I'm not a fan. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about what you do with your neighborhood. If you're in the neighborhood or even in our area, we're 7 acres and we still noticed the quote unquote neighbor 7 acres away literally had to have just, I don't know what they did to this entire field, but one day it was beautiful green, next day it was dead yellow and it hadn't been cut. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about some ideas you might have about neighboring pesticide drift, and then maybe come up with some ideas. Because it sounds like the pest thing is going to be something we have to constantly stay on top of and trying new stuff. So I just want people to be encouraged. If you feel like you're doing it all the time, sounds like Scott has a lot of variety trying to tackle it too. So you're not alone. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
At MillersGrainHouse.com, you'll find both electric and off-grid appliances and encouragement to build your preparation kitchen. Miller's Grain House is dedicated to helping you save money while you prep. Connect with Miller's Grain House on Facebook and check out our videos. Remember, MillersGrainHouse.com to save on all your preparedness kitchen needs.
Are you looking to have ducks, geese, chickens? Boy, do we have something to share with you. Stop by ranch-coop.com. These folks build some of the most beautiful handcrafted coops for small areas as well as the farm. They are so easy to put together. It took us less than an hour, and they're shipped right to your door. Stop by ranch-coop.com. Wonderful people to deal with. Beautiful coops that you can use for backyard and homestead fowl. Ranch-coop.com.
Do you have your free digital subscription to Prepare Magazine yet? If not, then hurry over to preparemag.com and start getting each monthly issue sent directly to your inbox. It's easy. All you have to do is go to preparemag.com, enter your name and email address, and you're subscribed. Consider signing up for the premium membership for past issues and exclusive resources. You can even subscribe to the beautiful print version of Prepare Magazine. Visit preparemag.com and choose the option that's most valuable to you. Prepare Magazine, encouraging, empowering, and enriching your journey.
Your preparation station is on the air.
Welcome back to our show here on Your Preparation Station. I'm here with Scott Peterson from Down Earth Seeds, and we are talking about all the different things from the last show last week about prepping your garden. This week, he's talking with us about pests and dealing with them, the 2, 4, 6, and 8-legged kind. I tend to forget the 2 and 4 because they wander around in the house sometimes and in the garden. So I'm glad he brought that to mind. But right now, we kind of segued into the Roundup debacle and the, you know, the poisoning of our food system. So I wanted to find out if you had any words of advice about neighboring pesticide drift, because we can't control what our neighbors do.
Well, that is true. But the thing about if he is your neighbor, you know, you're both living in the same area, and apparently you probably know each other, hopefully on good terms. One thing I would suggest, especially if you live in an area that either has field crops or stuff like that, where they're aerial spraying, or even just like this, you know, he just does it every once in a while, maybe go talk to them. Say, hey, you know, I know farming's tough and everything else, or you got to do this, but I'm just asking you, you know, could you do it maybe late at night when there's no wind? Maybe, you know, because they're going to spray anyway, and, you know, truthfully, they would almost feel like they need to charge you if anything got over on your place. You know, I'm doing you a favor here, right? But, you know, kind of it's best if you can, you know, kind of do that. And if he's not conducive to it, or there's always a prevailing wind from his place, maybe put a row of shrubs there and do some preventative to somewhat off-ward your neighbor's behavior, because the drift is there. And not only is the drift there, but also it goes into your groundwater.
Yeah, I know.
And so if you're directly downhill from him and you have a high spot, you might want to go to that high spot to plant your vegetables. That's a lot of things we don't understand is the runoff. And the runoff is something you're going to be eating irregardless because it's going to go through the underground aquifer anyway. Mm-hmm. So I find it best if you can contact or work with the people around you to try to keep the pesticidal drift, herbicidal drift away from your land or your soil. And it always doesn't have to be a farmer. We had the power line crew come through with backpack sprayers and a bunch of people from south of the border, didn't even know English, and they were spraying stuff around creeks and over by porches and everything, trying to clear the easement of the power line, what they used to do with a chainsaw and a wood chipper. And truthfully, in order to get rid of those guys, you just basically tell them, you know, this is a certified organic place. You can't spray here.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have to be certified organic, but they can't even speak English, so they really don't care. You just, you know. Now, a shotgun in your hand usually helps portray the message that you're strongly opposed to what they're doing, but you don't really always want to do that. But
truthfully,
I guess that would be called a natural deterrent.
It would be a natural deterrent. People don't even have, I mean, even a public, quote-unquote public servant, regardless of who hired them, they really can't just come onto your property and spray anything they want to. If you do have a right, I mean, I would hope we still have them, the right to say, hey, I don't want that on my property, beat it. You know, and that's true. I hadn't even thought about we live so out in the middle of nowhere. We have to do our own road. So it's not like we have anybody tend it for us. We have to all pool together and go, okay, get somebody with a backhoe and a you know, gravel spreader, and we do it ourselves. But when it comes to power lines, the county takes care of those. I hadn't even thought about how they clear ways to get to some of that stuff. I guess you're going to have to keep your eyes out for that, even if you don't, whether you live in a rural setting or a suburban setting or what, that pesticide drift or the herbicide drift, whatever they're spraying, you do have to be aware of it. I saw someone doing it in town the other day, just on the sidewalk, and a lady pushing her daughter by in her stroller, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you pretty much sprayed the kid, you know? So it is, you just have to kind of really be aware of it, and I think it's something we just have to deal with. Will neighborhood drift of anything like pesticides and herbicides actually cause your plants not to do as well? I mean, no, we're consuming garbage because they've done that, but will that affect the garden, like, health, too?
Well, anytime, I mean, we have enough stuff that we don't know about, you know, that our neighbor's not spraying on or anything like that. I remember the old days, not that long ago, and I'm not even saying Donna even was around then, but they used to go along with these spray trucks, especially in the South.
Yeah, buddy.
With DDT, and the kids would run out and play in it. I mean,
I was one of those kids, and I can so. I'm just blaming my close to senior moments on that. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I was one of those kids.
You know, so is it going to affect? I mean, for all the garbage I've seen dumped on the Midwest farm ground, which is the nicest farm soil in the world almost, and seeing still what it can grow, and seeing people can still eat stuff that's produced that way. Nature is fantastic. We have a great maker, and he's done a fantastic job of putting natural protection in all of us and in his plants and his soil. But you still have to look at, you know, wash your vegetables. You know, of course, now if you're on a city water supply, you might be putting more on than you're taking off. That's irregardless. I still recommend, if you can't garden, make sure you know where your stuff is coming from.
Yeah.
Because that's the only sure way you're going to know. Just because it has an organic label on it doesn't mean diddly all. You know, actually, I'm more concerned about the 18-year-old produce handler at the local grocery store where his hands were.
Mm-hmm.
More than I am about what was sprayed on my vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Or else the senior lady in front of me going through all the tomatoes to find the squishy one. that type of thing. And I'm not one of these germophobias or anything like that, that I need hand sanitizer. Actually, I don't even own a bottle of hand sanitizer. But you got to question some of this. So, yes, herbicide drift, pesticide drift can. It depends on what it is, where it's headed to, and kind of what you're using. So it's always a little bit better to be safe than sorry. I have an artesian spring feeds my water system. It's gorgeous, beautiful water, but I still filter it just because I do not know what may be upstream or what's contaminating the aquifer.
Good point.
So if in doubt, leave it out or wash it. So
yeah, when we come to trying to, and this happens a lot in our area, and it's just been one of those habits for, you're looking at your smaller plot of land or your garden, and you want to get rid of something that's going on there, whether it's one thing that happens a lot here is corn, the worms in the corn. We have a terrible tomato blight for the last few years. It's been just ridiculous. But that's probably nothing that pesticides and herbicides are really involved in too much. But people will quickly grab a bag of, if you have it there, it's called Seven.
Seven Dust, yes.
Yeah, Seven Dust. I don't even know what that stuff is. All I know is I don't want to use it. What other type of natural things can we do? I mean, you talked about the ground up bodies of dead bugs. I've heard that one before, and I think that's awesome. Except you may never want to use that blender again.
Right.
Any other ideas?
Diatomaceous earth takes care of worms. Okay. It's made out of fossilized, who knows what, from whatever century it was. Anyway, it cuts up the worms' intestines and it makes them bleed to death or ulcerate out or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not a scientist, but all I do is know is that dusting with, instead of Seven Dust, I'd rather use diatomaceous earth.
Good point.
There again, having a healthier plant, maybe giving them a shot of sugar water, boosts the energy just like your 6-year-old grandchild. or your child, yourself, or even yourself. You go in for a quick cup of coffee. What's it doing? You're getting an energy boost, right? Well, we need to think of our plants the same way. Maybe they need an energy boost. Maybe it's been hot and humid and just nasty out, and they're looking a little sad and wilted. Maybe they need a little shot. Maybe they need a little caffeine boost. Tobacco. I've seen chewing tobacco used as a deterrent. Of course, you got to watch because they're all out there spitting then. But there's lots of old-fashioned remedies that we pawn off as old-fashioned remedies, but usually there's some merit behind it. You were talking about whenever the last frost is. They say don't plant corn until the oak leaves are the size of mouse ears. That's the one I've heard down here.
Oh.
That kind of makes sense. That was about 2 weeks ago, and that would be about proper, if you're getting an early crop of corn in. So and also even planting your plants and getting your garden prepped and getting out there early keeps the bugs away, because usually, we don't get bug infestation or predators or anything like that until later on in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all growing and getting in their cycle, and all of a sudden here comes the swarms. But if the plants are mature enough, they can ward off a lot of these type pests just because they're more mature, and they're going to go to the neighbors who are using Seven Dust, And you have to realize, by growing it organically and nice, you are going to be the attractant to the pests because they know you got good stuff.
It is
a fact. So
that does seem true. It's not a failure just because you're growing organically or going from heirloom seeds and trying to stay away from all the chemicals. It's not a failure because you end up with more pests. It's actually a compliment.
Yeah, because they understand. I watch cows, and I'll see them with their great big mouth and their great big tongue select out little pieces of clover around everything. And 3 days later, when that clover starts coming back up, they'll come back and eat it. How in the heck did they find it? You know, their eyes are on the sides of their head. I can't even see it. But that's what they do.
Yeah, that's kind of a good point for the same thing with pests. Well, Scott, yep. Thank you for being with us again today. You're going to come back and talk about really kind of the close of the garden season, but it's something that has to be thought of ahead of time. So you're going to come back and talk with us about seed saving, and then we're going to invite everybody to join us for something a little bit more interactive the week after. So I appreciate you being here today. We're going to close out and tell everybody where to find you and connect with you, and have you back next time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so to get in touch with Scott, you just go to downtoearthseeds.com, and you can find all the things that he has to offer. For he teaches all the time. He has a lot of great information on the website, as well as, of course, ways that you can purchase the seeds and learn more. So just connect with him there. Let him know, please, that you did hear about things from him already on your preparation station. And if you've missed the show earlier, just go back and search a previous show in our archives or on Blog Talk Radio and see if you can find that as well. And just put Down to Earth Seeds or Scott Peterson, and you'll probably pull up some info on there from us as well. Just let him know how you found out about him, and I'm sure he'll take great care of you. Until the next show, which we're going to talk about seed saving, please be sure to tune in and take care of yourself. Remember to enjoy the journey while you continue to prepare.
This has been another episode of Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller. We would love to hear from you. Please connect with us at yourpreparationstation.com and on Facebook. Tune in again next time for another encouraging episode. Until then, keep growing and finding joy in the journey.